Faith Has Its Reasons, an Interrogative Approach to Defending Christianity by Kenneth Boa and Robert Bowman Jr. And all the links for the book are in the description below. You can buy the hard copy. It's on Logos. It's on Kindle. It's on a few other places as well. So hopefully you've gotten it by now. And so we're going to cover kind of the introductory chapters, which we were discussing before we started hit the record button, that you could almost break this first part off and have a full good book on the discussion of intro to apologetics. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff here.
This is the second edition of this book. And so it came out a while ago. I think it's in 2005 is the second edition. But it is really, really good. He does a thorough job with regard to these various issues. And so we wanted to, you know, kind of share this with you. I mean, this kind of a talk with regard to at least the historical aspects of apologetics and the approaches really doesn't get old, right? For the most part, these approaches are still what we have today.
Right. Right. And the big part of this book, other than the four different factors of apologetics that they come in, is a historical approach, but also explanatory. And so this book does a good job. We've read this before together, and we've cited it. We've went over it, and we thought this will be kind of a good format for the show as well. There's a lot to learn from here, especially looking at the history of it and realizing too that kind of apologetics as a study has only become more of a scholarship driven aspect in the last about 150, 200 years or so. But that's not to say that apologetics hasn't been there from the beginning. And obviously we draw biblical comparisons for citations for why we do apologetics, but throughout the scope of church history, we see different developments of apologetics within their own time and place and for different purposes. But it's only kind of been recently that we talk about apologetics from kind of the positions that we're used to now. And so what they do in this book is they kind of first give you kind of an introduction on what apologetics is, but then there's kind of four different breakpoints for different versions of apologetics that are espoused. And so you have a breakdown both in what they are, kind of the main throughout history who has supported them, and then the explanatory power of both. And then they give both kind of a pros and cons approach to different aspects. And then at the end, they kind of put a stamp on what they think is the best approach. And so that's what we'll kind of be going over, and how the chapters break down. We'll probably get a couple episodes out of each. So if you haven't read through all the chapter before our next release of the episode, then know that
you're
still
good. Yeah. That's right.
That's right. That's right. We're just at a coffee shop having a discussion. Right. There's no reason to get your check minuses out.
Right. No pressure, no problems, right? No issues,
right?
No words.
All right. So we start with the preface, and the author's kind of lay out what the book is going to cover, and kind of the layout and format. And they ask this of how to relate the Christian worldview to a non-Christian world has been the dilemma of Christian spokespersons since the Apostle Paul addressed the Stoics and Epicurean philosophers in Athens. The famous Mars Hill sermon inspiring to say the least in the book of Acts. And so that's always a good read, and we'll kind of cover that I think in chapter one here. But in this introductory textbook on Christian apologetics, the study of the defense of the faith, you will be inducted into the 2-millennia-long discussion. You will take a guided tour from 4 major approaches of apologetics that have emerged in the past couple centuries.
And so the folks and our authors here tell us that we'll identify these 4 approaches, or what they call idealized types of Christian apologetics methodologies. And these idealized types, he says, when we consider the apologetic work of actual Christian apologists, we'll find that there are actually many more than four approaches. However, most of the methods that Christians use in apologetics are closely related to one of the four approaches that they're going to share with us.
Right. And kind of like how we have to think of history in school, we almost think in dates. So, you know, when World War I started, it was this day. But if you really look at when World War I really started, it was a little bit before that, maybe even a little bit after it. And so with apologetic approaches, we have to realize that not everyone fits into the cut and dry definitional point of view, even maybe even the people that have coined the terms or kind of are the main spokesman for that position. So we have to give people the benefit of the doubt of not always fitting the definition as strictly as we like. And that goes for maybe even some of their citations of the historical people as well. In fact, I think there's a couple of people that we would switch around in different perspectives from what the authors have when we get there. All right, so what distinguishes these four basic approaches to apologetics then? Well, to put it as a matter as simply as possible, each places a distinctive priority on reason, fact, revelation, and faith, respectively. For reasons that become clear at the end of part one, we call these four apologists Tom, after Thomas Aquinas, a 13th century theologian, Joe, after Joseph Butler, an 18th century Anglican bishop, Cal, after John Calvin, the 16th century French reformer, and Martina, after Martin Luther, the 16th century German reformer. So, look, we have the whole swath of Europe right there. So.
Yeah, how about that?
So Tom's apologetic approach places a strong emphasis on logic and is called classical apologetics. Joe's approach emphasizes facts or evidences and is called evidentialism. Cal's approach is emphasized of the authority of God's revelation in Scripture. Because of its close identification with Calvinism or Reformed theology, the approach here is called Reformed apologetics. And if you spend any time on our show, we tend to call this presuppositional apologetics. If you're Dr. Oliphant, then it's covenantal apologetics. And so the term there will be cited respectively. And finally, Martina's approach emphasized the need for personal faith and referred to here as fideism from the Latin fide or faith. And faith, what do we say, children? What does faith mean? Faith means trust.
That's right. Yeah. So the question then is, excuse me, where do these four approaches diverge? How are they kind of different? Right? And he says these four approaches diverge in apologetic method or theory regarding the following six questions, all of which will be discussed in the book and related to each other and to the four. So the first question is, on what basis do we claim that Christianity is the truth? So this is we might call it an epistemological question. It has to do with truth and knowledge and that sort of thing. So on what basis do we claim that Christianity is the truth? Secondly, what is the relationship between apologetics and theology? So we'll see later on in this chapter, they're going to suggest that how these two things, apologetics and theology, relate to one another is going to also drive a wedge between these various approaches. Thirdly, should apologetics engage in a philosophical defense of the Christian faith? Right? So where's the role of philosophy with regard to apologetics? So we'll take a look at that. Fourth, can science be used to defend the Christian faith? So the role of science in terms of apologetics and how that works or shouldn't work will be discussed, right? And what each of these positions say about that. Fifthly, can the Christian faith be supported by historical inquiry, right? So that's history. And then finally, how is our knowledge of Christian truth related to our experience? And so they tell us that although each approach answers these questions in different ways, those answers are not necessarily mutually exclusive. In fact, they suggest that they're going to argue that all four approaches have value and should be integrated together as much as possible. And thus, you know, they're going to suggest, at least by the end of the book, to have this kind of integrative approach to defending the Christian faith.
Right. So what's the plan of this book? Well, the book is divided into six different parts. Part one introduces the subject of apologetics and includes a review of the thoughts leading apologists in church history and an overview on the four basic approaches in apologetics. Part two through five presents parallel treatments of each of the four approaches. Each part is divided into four chapters, and the first chapter of each part traces the roots of the apologetic approaches and introduces the thought of the five major apologists. So chapters 4, 8, 12, and 16 does that.
And then the second chapter of each of these parts analyzes the method and its views of the six questions mentioned above that we just went through concerning knowledge and theology and philosophy and science, history, and experience. So that's the second portion of each of the chapters. The third portion, the third chapter, examines the method's answers to the six questions about scripture and other religions, God, evil, miracles, and Jesus. So those will be some practical questions that unbelievers have and that we need to deal with, right? And we'll see these as we go, like, you know, how do we trust scripture? What about other religions? Don't all religions lead to God? You know, the problem of evil, miracles, that sort of thing. So the third chapter in each of these sections, we'll deal with that. And then the fourth chapter of each part summarizes the method and the method that they're talking about in that particular section and illustrates it with a sample dialogue between two fictional non-Christians and one of the four model Christian apologists. Rather. So when we get to that section, we probably won't go through the dialogue, but we probably give at least a summary how that relates to that particular kind of apologetic approach. They tell us that each of these latter chapters also will discuss the major strengths and weaknesses of the apologetic method that's illustrated in the dialogue. And finally, part six discusses ways to integrate the four basic approaches. So that's, as you can see here, that is a lot of stuff that they want to get through. And this is the book, right? This is the book. You notice that it's about a mile thick. So there's a lot of material, but some of it is somewhat redundant because they do the same thing over and over again in each of the sections of the book, right? So they introduce the approach, and then they go through these various small chapters in each section with regard to that particular approach. And so by the time we get done with this, you will be really familiar with these various four, as they see it, major approaches to Christian apologetics.
Yeah. Yeah. So this can be a straightforward read, or it can be kind of a citation book. One of the interesting things to do is to mark it up and then kind of use it as a reference. But if you go through it again, use a different colored pen and figure out what you've learned or new questions to have. And so you can kind of have that two distinctive colors in your book if you're okay with marking up your books, which you should be. These aren't collector items. We can do this. They're not 100 years old yet, so we don't have to care about it.